Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome into Golf Talk America, everyone. Frank Bassett joining you here from, a different place, a different studio. As you know, you heard we had some issues in Nashville, Tennessee, Madison, Tennessee, Hendersonville, Tennessee, and, of course, Clarksville. Well, Golf Talk America, my home, was hit, and we're out of there. So say your prayers for us out there, folks. Didn't lose our lives. My wife and I are fine, but our house was, it's bad. It's really bad. We're going to be out for probably 8 to 10 to 12 months. So we'll still be doing the show. We're just going to hang in there and do what's necessary to bring you the interviews from the tournaments. And Tim Matthews and I will be back together next week with a live show. And Bogey the Wonder Dog, if you can hear him, he's just in the room next to me. And you're going to hear a lot of him, as long as we're still in the hotel. But anyway, let's get right to it. It's the PNC Championship, I should say, and a lot of great teams, a lot of great names, and family fun in Orlando this week. We were supposed to have been there. That didn't work out, but I'm glad I was home. So that being said, let's get right to it. Play the interviews for you, snippets, things of that nature. We won't have breaks between them. We'll just run them. And then I'll wrap this thing up at the end. Thanks for abbreviated version this week. But again, say your prayers for all those who lost their lives and the families and all the families who all around us that just were devastated. I mean, flattened. So let's get to it. PNC Championship, folks, on a happier note.
Okay, we'd like to welcome Justin and Mike Thomas back to the PNC Championship, our 2020 winners. Justin, we'll start with you. Welcome back. If we can get your comments on being here this week.
Yeah, very excited as always. It looks like we need to do our anti-rain dance a little bit tomorrow. We'll still make fun of it. And it's a very, very special week. It's a nice, I think cap to end the year. And we've really enjoyed it and made a little, tradition out of it. And hopefully we can, play some good golf while we're here.
Yeah, same to you, Mike. How much are you looking forward to the week? And how's the state of your game after today's pro-am?
It was kind of hard to find anything out there in the wind today, but that's going to be good prep for tomorrow for sure with the wind. But, my game's day-to-day, so we'll see. But it's just a fun week to get to play with Justin. It's a lot of fun, and we got my wife out here caddying, so it'll be a good week.
All right, questions?
What is your favorite thing about getting to play with each other and your favorite thing about this tournament?
Go for it.
Yeah, the favorite thing about the tournament is getting to play together. I mean, we don't get to do that very often. When he's home, he doesn't want to play golf, and I teach a lot, so I don't make time to play golf. So this is our week to play golf together.
Is this the last time you played golf was a year ago together?
No, I've played in between now and then.
Oh, together?
Nah, we've probably played
handful-ish, 10, I don't know.
No, not 10. Probably 5 times this year, yeah.
What's it been like for you two to watch the development of Charlie? He has this little tyke out here.
Yeah, not like anymore.
He's not a little tyke anymore.
Yeah, I can't quite give him as much grief anymore because he's getting close to being able to beat me up. So, it's impressive from a golfer standpoint, because he's still 14, and he's still 14-year-old, but he's maturing in the sense of his golf game, and he's more willing to learn. He's open to it at times, obviously, but it's cool. I mean, he's won state championship with the guys. I mean, that's really cool. I think playing on the high school team has been very beneficial for him, and I'm just glad he keeps moving back tee markers, because he's
he's hitting it far.
He's got to lead the tournament in inches grown the last 3 years.
And muscles weight, grown.
And weight put on.
Game growth.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone. So we've been asking each team what the biggest pet peeves you guys have for each other. Like non-golf related. So it would be like you leave the lights on and you hate that. So just what are your guys' biggest pet peeves about each other?
Rattling something in my pocket is yours.
Yeah, probably, yeah. My dad, he always has a lot of change in his pocket, and he'll be back there doing this. I'm warming up, and just kind of like, you want to stop doing that?
And my pet peeve is that he gets mad about that. I don't really have a pet peeve.
You don't like it when people chew ice, but I know that, so I don't do it around you.
Yeah, yeah.
This in the Bahamas, just kind of a filler space, kind of going into next year. What are you looking at for next year?
Where am I starting?
Scheduling and just what do you see yourself playing all the way through the first quarter, if you will, first three master step, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to start in Palm Springs, which I'm excited about. I mean, obviously bummed to not be starting in Hawaii. That's always one of my favorites. But the way, I mean, you never know what's going to happen and world ranking and whatnot, but, I mean, hopefully it should be good for, you know, to get into Pebble and then Phoenix and L.A. I'd like to, so I don't have to suck up to Tiger for an exemption. That'd be nice on many fronts. But, I mean, I think a lot of guys are going to be playing very similar schedules. And, you know, that Florida swing can get a little – I think you might see some difference here and there, just trying to – I'm not sure what I'm going to do that, you know, that I think it's like that 3 or 4 week stretch before Augusta, maybe. Going to try to look at that and space that out. I'm obviously not too sure yet, but it's been a very, very busy fall. So this is a nice, fun way to end it.
When's the last time you wrote for an exemption?
Yeah. Probably. My rookie year. I've been very fortunate. You know, love him to death, but I didn't write Tiger an exemption for hero. It was probably some other words and some expletives in there, but it worked out okay.
He made you pay a little bit for it.
Yeah.
Some extra effort
right.
Things.
Tiger would probably never answer this question, but if he and Charlie were ever to win this thing, where do you think it would rank on his list of wins? How would you classify that, do you think?
In terms of... Honestly, like meaning and it would, I'd probably be number one for like special. I mean, you can't, obviously winning majors is unbelievable and how he's won his majors. But I mean, seeing how much he cares about Charlie and having Sam out here and him doing that together with Charlie and has, he's kind of watched him grow up. I mean, it would be a very, very different, kind of win that doesn't maybe come with the record books and history and whatnot. But, I know it would suck for us because they'd really rub that in our face quite a bit.
What was the kind of the meaning for you as much as your dad jingles change in his pocket?
What the meaning for it? It was no when we won.
Yeah,
it was. It's unique. It's really hard to explain. It's just I truly think it's one of those things. Especially when we won, we started the second day a little bit back, but. Like you're having a lot of fun and you're out there and then, you know, we birdied, I think like the first 9 or 10, we made a lot of birdies and then next thing you know, we're kind of coming up 16, 17 and it's like, oh, okay, we have a chance to win. And it, you know,
there's not leaderboards, so you don't know how you stand.
It's probably something to be learned from that on my standpoint of maybe to, you know, not get as wrapped up in it. But, you know, we say it every year, you're not here grinding, really trying to, you know, not pissed off leaving without a win, but it's obviously nice. Leaving with one versus
It was a big deal to VJ last year. You could tell when.
I didn't mean that it's not a big deal, but it's more so. I think we get wrapped up in the moment of having fun and playing golf with each other. You kind of forget maybe about the bigger picture.
Did you care more about him winning or you winning?
Probably. I was pushing to get him into Kapalua, but it didn't work.
Is there anything swing-wise the two of you have worked on with some downtime? And if you look at last season, what's the best thing you took out of last season?
Swing-wise, I'd say, I mean, I think we got a pretty good gist of what we've been working on. I feel like kind of from, you know, Minnesota through the end of the year, I felt like it's been very similar stuff. It's just... It might be worded a different way or thought differently, but it's very much in a similar bag, if you will. I learned a lot this past season. I mean, it's number one thing is that it's things are never as bad as people make them out to be. I think at times, you know, I was just a couple of putts, shots, swings here and there away from at least having a chance of making a run in the playoffs. But you know, that's it's a fine line out here. Obviously, I did not have a very good year in terms of my standards, but it wasn't maybe at the of where the results ended up. But I think we just have we've both tried to do a better job of keeping it simple when playing golf, but also, you know, keeping an eye on some things that maybe got away from us. I'd say.
Yeah.
Now, you think Mike is like back to basics type of thing? And
yeah, I mean, I think getting out some swings from his good years, like 17, 18, and kind of putting them side by side on a iPad or a computer where we can compare positions of what was then and what was now. And it's hard because your body changes and you know, maybe you don't want to do this or maybe you want to get back to this. So it's just a lot of trial and error of matching up what things look like before and is it producing those results. So, you know.
Justin, you mentioned you're going to play Palm Springs, and there has been a little concern about the fields for the non-signature events. As someone who's, you know, going to play one and maybe might have to some more, did you hold that concern at all? I mean, getting the – you know, some of the guys who are all get in all the signature events playing some of those as well, is that going to be a problem, do you think? Or
It probably depends who you ask. I mean, and to be perfectly honest, my schedule isn't overly different than it has been for a while now. I mean, at the beginning of the year is different simply just from not being in Kapalua and then obviously adding Pebble, but as I go through the year, it's not very different. I totally understand that. I hate to use the word concern because I feel like that definitely is a negative, kind of gives it a negative connotation, but it just is it's a good, everybody still has a great opportunity. And I mean, it's based off of whatever it's algorithms or things that the tour came up with, the point system of still winning a tour event is going to put you in a great position. It's going to help you a lot in the FedEx Cup. And it's going to, I think, create for some great storylines, you know, as the season continues. And I still also think that if guys like golf courses, they're going to go play it. You know, I just think that's the fact of the matter still.
So you might play an event regardless of its status because you liked it or it's, you know, it's been a place you've gone before.
For sure. I mean, Phoenix is a great example. Yeah. I mean, I've played Phoenix really well, and I think it's a great golf course, and I'm not going to miss it because it's not an elevated event. I want to go to a golf course that I feel like I have a good chance to win at and that I like. You know, I've done that in Tampa in the past. I really, really like that golf course, and I think it's I have a great opportunity to win there. So, I mean, that's one that I'm not sure what's going to happen this year, but I just think a lot of guys, like I said, if they've either had success there or they like it, they're probably more likely to make it work in their schedule versus just throwing it away because it's not an elevated event.
So you have people out there, I think there's a perception that we now have the elite, the A group, and the rest of the tour. There's kind of that perception out there. But if you look at someone like Ryan Harmon, someone like Eric Cole, and someone like you, why aren't they thinking about people who can play into this group and those who, if they have a bad year, they're out? Why do you think people don't look at those sides of it?
I don't know. I think it's the easy thing to do, honestly, is to sit there and say, well, why me? Why is this happening to me? Why are they getting this? As opposed to, I mean, I use Adam Shank as a great example last year. I mean, he very realistically, I mean, he was like three back of the FedEx Cup with like three or four holes left. And to me, that wasn't a big enough story. I mean, absolutely zero offense to Adam whatsoever, but it's like if you would have put, you know, us side by side the beginning of the year and said who's going to do what, you know what I'm saying? And it's, but that's the way that I think so many people look at it. It's like, oh, well, they're going to play in all these events, everything's going to be great. And it's like, or you could look at it like Adam Shank did and say, I'm going to play my way into those events. Eric Cole, I'm going to play my way into those events. And golf's a funky game. I mean, anybody can, doesn't matter how good of a player, great of a player, and accomplishments you've had, you can have an off year, I mean, and miss the playoffs just like I did. So everybody's got to work hard, and you have to earn it. It doesn't matter what sport you play. That's just the facts.
You you never share your goals with us, but you there was a time when you, at the end of the year, you'd go back and tick the ones that you hit. Did you take any this year?
Did I take any?
Is that harsh?
I can't imagine I did, at least in the golf standpoint. I didn't put them in my phone this year. I wrote them down, so I need to go back and look and see. I probably should post them, but I need to go back and look at them. But, no, like you said, I can't imagine I ticked any off.
You're not going to post them.
You know what? You don't think I – wow, that's messed up.
One of the things...
Now I'm going to do it.
That's reverse psychology. One other thing, there's a lot of activity going on the alignments and PIF and the outside, et cetera, et cetera. How much do you know? And the broader question is, how much do you want to know?
I think I'm in the middle of both. I have so much respect for those guys on the board and the amount of time and effort that they've put in, and their families for allowing it, honestly. Not allowing it, but being good with it. I mean, it's been frustrating on my end as a player and having someone on the board, you know, the things that Patrick Cantlay's had written about him. I understand Patrick is who he is, but he's beyond busted his ass to get the tour in the best place possible and for it to be him and the rest of the guys in the PGA Tour board to make things at the best possible place for us players going forward. And I know all of them have done that, but I feel like when I want to know something, like all of everybody else, I know that I can call any of those guys and they'll tell me. But naturally, they're not. No, they don't reach out to people and say, "Hey, do you want to know what's going on?" It's just that's, to be quite frank, they're too busy to do something like
that.
But
it sounds like you don't pick up the phone either.
What's that?
It sounds like you don't pick up the phone either and call and ask. And it makes me wonder how much.
No, I have faith and I have trust. I mean, I understand. I get updated maybe from time to time, but I'm. Especially last year at the end, I mean, I have bigger and better things to worry about, to be selfish and honest. I mean, my golf is, I shouldn't say more important because the future of the PGA Tour is more important, but selfishly for me, my golf is. And I know that those guys are willing to pick up the phone and talk to anybody if they want. They just got to call them, and I just haven't really had the desire to that much. I got faith and trust in them. Yeah. Good job, Dad.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Frank Bassett here, and I want to tell you about something that I've learned from Masterclass, and I'm implementing it right now into my life. I'm learning about crisis management, managing situations that are very difficult when they hit you right in the face, and it seems that they usually come in a multitude. They hit you, and so you know what I did? I went and took a masterclass from George W. Bush, for one. Interesting, interesting masterclass. Masterclass makes a meaningful gift this season for you and anyone on your list because both of you can learn from the best to become your best, from leadership to effective communication to cooking. Whether you're watching Masterclass on TV, listening in audio mode, in the app, or on their site, the quality speaks for itself. It's like Masterclass instructors are your own personal mentors. They're going to help you reach the next level. How much do you think it would cost to take a one-on-one class from some of the world's best? Easily hundreds to thousands of dollars. With a Masterclass annual membership, it's $10 a month. Memberships start at $120 a year for unlimited access to one-on-one classes with all 180-plus Masterclass instructors. You can learn how to negotiate a raise from Chris Voss or manage your relationships with Esther Perel. Even take a class from Coach K. You know, I'm looking at that one too. Because what I found with Masterclass and the 180-plus Masterclass instructors is you can go to one, go to another, go to the next one, go to sports, go to cooking, go wherever you want to go. It's just unbelievable and gives you so many options to pick from. It's just the best product I've seen in a long time. So boost your confidence and find practical takeaways you can apply to your life and at work. And if you own a business or you're a team leader, use Masterclass to empower and create future-ready employees and leaders. Let me tell you, 11 different categories, 180-plus instructors. You can't beat it. You just can't beat it at all. So here's what I want you to do. this holiday season. I want you to give one annual membership and get one free at masterclass.com/golftalk. Right now, you can get two memberships for the price of one at masterclass.com/golftalk. That's masterclass.com/golftalk. Offer terms apply.
6 at 5 a.m. Treadmill.
Yeah.
Nothing better than a Holiday Inn Express treadmill. Still works, right?
Yes, it does.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, absolutely.
First of all, if you could just talk a little bit about how it feels to be back with Charlie playing in for your fourth time.
Yeah, it's a blast. I mean, for us to be back out here and playing and competing and just enjoying this atmosphere of it all, it's been a blast. And hopefully we get through the next day or so without any delays. And hopefully we will post something good.
And I noticed you decided to walk today. What made you decide to walk, not take a cart?
Well, I felt like I was physically fit to do it. And also, walking has always been better for my back. And so I just want to keep it loose and keep it going. And we're having so much fun. It doesn't really matter. You know, we had a good time doing it.
And it's your second tournament in 3 weeks. Are you beginning to feel... I know you're talking about the rust coming off a couple of weeks ago. Are you feeling
yeah, better? It's better. Today was definitely better. I felt I was able to knock a lot of rust off there at Hero, and felt my hands felt better with control and hitting shots. And especially today with the wind blowing as hard as it was, I was able to hit the flighted shots nicely, which I was not quite on par as sharp as I was, as I wanted to be at Hero.
But you felt good, you're feeling good out there today.
Yeah, I am. We had a great time.
And how about Charlie? I know, remember last year he had some growing pains in his ankles. He's feeling good physically and his game.
He's still growing. I mean, you can see how much he's grown since last year. It's amazing how much he has grown and has changed. And it's a moving target with him, right? So I think he's grown somewhere near like 4 inches this year. So it's his swing has changed. It's evolved. Clubs have evolved. And we've kept trying to adjust things, and it's been a lot of fun. But it's also challenging for him because each and every couple weeks the things change. He's growing so fast.
Yeah, I mean, what would you say would be the biggest change in his game from last year to this year in terms of growth of game or just sort of...
Oh, I think he has a better understanding of how to hit shots, but I think that his speed has gone dramatically up since last year. But I think that more than anything, it's just the fact that he's growing so fast, the aches and pains of growing, it's just teenage life.
And they moved to a tee back, I think, so he's playing from a tee back?
Yes, he is. He's one tee further back, so I guess he's tee number two. So he's just one tee ahead of me, which is fine because he's hitting it past me now. So we still have an advantage out there, but also we both have to hit shots well at the same time.
And I know that you've been caddying for him, mm-hmm. and lately you just walked around the state championships with him. Like, from those two perspectives, have you sort of seen two very different aspects to his game, like how are you able to help from both positions?
I enjoyed caddying with him, or caddying for him and being there with him. Just talk through shots with him and have him understand what I would see or how the thought process that I would go through shots. And he would bounce things off of me and give him my take on certain things. And sometimes he just didn't see it the way I saw it, which is fine. But it's the understanding of how to hit the proper shot at the proper time. And that's what all kids have to learn is, when do I hit a certain shot at the right time, or how do I take stuff off a shot? How do I hit it a little bit harder? What do I need to do? And you can do that at home all you want, but under tournament conditions, it's just so different. And being able to share that with him, share my experiences with him in game time mode, I think that it was great for both of us, because I think we were both able to to learn from it and grow from it. And I think I learned to be a better teacher with it, and I think that he became a better player because of it.
He's growing, obviously, mm-hmm. and he's got all the resources, but there's obviously, I'm sure you realize, he's going to want to spread his wings a little bit, want to test things out himself. Has that been a learning experience for you as well, to kind of know when to let him kind of feel his way through life?
No, I let him go. And, you know, I provide guardrails for him and things that I would like to see him learn and progress. But also then again, I'm trying to provide as much space as I can for him, because there's so much of the noise in our lives that people are always trying to get stuff out of us. And you know, my job as a parent is to protect him from a lot of that stuff. And also then again, as a teenager, I want him to try and become his own man at the same time. So it's a challenge as a parent, and to provide that atmosphere for him to learn, to grow, and have that freedom. Meanwhile, understanding that there's so much noise looking into our lives at the same time.
Is that something your dad was good at with you?
Yeah, he was great at it. But also then again, it's a different era too. We didn't have phones and cameras looking at us 24/7, and there was no social media. It was a different era. And you know, I have had to adjust my parenting and what I have to share with him, just because the world is so different.
And does he ask you if he can go play, or do you ask him to go play, or is he very motivated?
He's very motivated. And I have not been able to play and practice as much as he has been able to. But I try and go out there every time that he wants to. And now I'm able to start kind of getting out there a little bit more with him, and I'm still able to chip and putt and show him the different shots around the greens and things like that. But also then again, I've watched him hit so many golf balls over the past year because I've been home. I haven't been able to play. So I've been able to help him, watch him play high school golf, junior golf. So it's been a huge positive, I think, for both of us.
And is there any shot that he, at his age, can play that you think, gosh, I couldn't hit that in his age?
I certainly didn't have the speed that he has at that age, but also I didn't have the equipment either. The equipment is so different than we were just transitioning out of Persimmon. So it's a different era, but and also the different golf ball too. We were able to do so much more with the golf ball and hit different shots and do more things with the golf ball because it just moved a lot more. But I'm able to share a lot of those things with him and share a lot of the feels and hands stuff that I had learned throughout my entire career.
I mean, when we're talking to players, the dads or the moms, they're always like, oh, now that they're listening to me, or now that they finally think I know what I'm talking about. But it just seems so special. He really seems to listen to you. Silly not to, but most kids, you always have this.
He does, but he doesn't. But yeah. Again, that's what all teenagers are, right? Mm-hmm. And it's my job as a parent to provide that atmosphere for him to either to ask the different questions and provide that environment. And we're both competitive, right? So I want to keep the environment fun, competitive, and we push each other, which is great. And the needle is always out. If you're going to be able to mouth off and give the jabs, then you have to be able to take it. And that's been a lot of fun for both of us.
Along those lines, a little bit more of a lighthearted question. We're asking fathers that have their sons and daughters and so forth. Pet peeves. What's something about Charlie he leaves the light on? You hate the music he listens to. Anything fun, humorous that gets under your skin about him?
I just don't like the fact he stares at his phone all the time. put your phone away and then just look around. That's one of the things that I think that all parents just struggle with is most kids don't look up anymore. Everyone's looking down. look around you. The world's so beautiful around you. Just look up. But everyone's staring into a screen, and that's how people view life. And it drives me nuts at times because he's always looking down. I mean, there's so many things around you that are so beautiful at the same time.
One last one for me, and then I'll let Michelle finish up. Obviously, Orlando special to you.
Yeah.
Second win here. Kids born here. Mm-hmm. Charlie's recent Mission Resort. Is it Mission Resort?
Mission Hills, yeah.
Success he's had. How nice is it to come back and just experience Orlando?
I love Orlando, and this was my first home away from home. You know, I moved out of California and moved to Orlando and back in 96. So this was a big part of my life. As you said, my kids were born here. I've had a lot of success, whether it was at Bay Hill or it was Disney, or be able to play with my son here. There's so many great experiences here in Orlando, and it's great to be back.
So just one final thing. There's loads of sort of memes and videos of the two of you. You've got so many similar gestures, and you're so similar. Is there one thing that you think, I love that he does that like me, and is there one thing you think, God, I wish he would do that like me, in all the similarities?
Well, I think that one of the things that it's I think what we both do, we don't realize we have that tick, is our shirt tug, right? And we both have allergies, so we're always scratching our nose. That's one of the ticks that we both have. The thing that drives me nuts is he drops his club on his follow through and doesn't watch where the golf one goes. Granted, I've done that a lot throughout my career, so it's look into a mirror, basically.
Yeah, it must be. Mm. I guess today we saw the first hole out, and so many of his shots were in play, and you birdied the first hole. Is there anything you're doing differently, like in your approach to the course for the tournament? Like, is there any holes that you thought maybe it should be Tiger
Right. That's one thing we were trying to figure out today, and we've been talking about going into this week. Because he's playing a tee further back this year, and with the forecast the way it is, whether or not he should hit first, or I should hit first and put my little cut in play and let him be able to take a rip at it. I think today on 10, 11, 12, 13 is one of the holes. I got one in play, and he's able to go for the green. I can't get there. But, those are things that we're having to make up on the fly because of the weather that's coming in and how the golf course is going to play. And we were both open about that. It's we're going to have to make those decisions in real time and try to figure that out.
And that's pretty fun, making some
decisions. It is. It absolutely is. And we both are talking through the entire process of it. And that's what's been fun for both of us. He's not an 11-year-old when he first came here. He's now 14, and things are just different, right? So he has more accountability. He has more understanding of how to play the game. I'm asking him to take a look at some of my strokes, my swings, what do you see? Keep an eye on this. As when it first came here, that was the complete opposite, right? So, and plus also it was a COVID year, so things are very different. But also then I don't think anyone has seen me hit more putts and chips than the last couple of years than he has. And so he knows when things are off and when I like to feel or what I like to go to and what is my tendencies. And he has a very good eye.
So I was going to ask you what his biggest change is, but actually you talked about that. What's the biggest change Charlie would see in your game from last year, apart from the fact you're obviously more physically able and like more mobile?
I don't have probably the shots that I used to have, but also then again, I think he has a better understanding of what I like. As I said, I like to feel, and where I go off. And today we're talking about some of my strokes, and I didn't put a shaft down every now and again because I like to what I like to see and what I like to feel and audibly. We talk through it together, and we're a team, and this event over the years has brought us closer together and provided an atmosphere for us to be able to compete, but also bond as a father and a son. Yeah, Michelle. Dougie?
You're a good man.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Well, there you are. There are some good interviews, and it's a good tournament, a lot of fun. PNC Championship used to be the PNC father-son, but there's Annika, and there's her son, and then there's daughters, and it's a great family event. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Remember, say your prayers for the folks who lost so much here in the Middle Tennessee area, and we appreciate each and every one of you for listening. Please go out and tag us on Facebook and on X or Twitter, whatever you call it. Give us some love. Tell your folks to like us and follow us. We'd appreciate it. Thanks so much, everybody. We will catch you next week.